Sometimes the interactions you have with strangers while traveling turn out to be the best things you remember about that overseas trip. And sometimes those encounters can be a lifesaver. Let's check in with listeners now at 877-333-7425 for reports on the kindness that strangers showed you in your travels. Sally's on the line in Lavelle, Pennsylvania. Sally, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Rick. 3 years ago, I solo trekked through 8 European countries over 3 months on a shoestring. And, you know, traveling like that, there's an experience of so much of the kindness of strangers. And I was cat-sitting for a few weeks on Lefkada Island, Greece, and each day would go out to swim in the sea. And one day I was out and the swells would lift me way high and I'd look out to sea and see the ships and then way low and I'd see nothing and way high and see the beach, way low, see nothing. Mm. I wondered why the beach was full of bathers but no one but myself was swimming. Mm-hmm. As I swam to shore after about an hour, the water felt very strange, and before I knew what hit me, I was being hit by what felt like a tractor trailer truck and a thrashing of a hydraulic, and I went to hurriedly grab my glasses, which I actually was floating and swimming with because I'm quite vision impaired. So as I went to grab my glasses, being hit by a force like I've never felt before, here two men, one on each side, grabbed my hands and they hauled me out of the sea, just out of this suction hydraulic where there was about an 8-foot straight down drop that had hollowed out a straight down of the beach. So I would have very possibly broken my neck or been drowned. And these Greek men who I'd never met before, I was there alone, hauled me out, saved my life. I learned that two men in their 20s, two strong young men, earlier that week in these same deadly conditions had been killed at that beach.
Oh, my goodness.
But amazingly,
you were one lucky traveler in that case.
These two angels showed up.
Oh, that's great.
And, of course, my glasses were not to be found.
You were lucky your life was to be found.
I was so lucky my life was to be found.
My goodness.
The next day, I was poised to head back across the country alone, virtually blind, across the world, actually, halfway across the world. So I went in a little shop in the town, asked if they happened to have any discarded old glasses that I might possibly see a slight bit better to read the signs in the airports. And of all things, they happened to have a contact lens that was the prescription I knew mine to be. And when I asked the price of it, they said, oh, no charge, and refused to take a penny.
Whoa.
And I returned home across the world with my one eye.
With somebody else's contact lens.
Well, from the little eye shop.
That's great. Well, Sally from Pennsylvania, those are fun travel stories. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome, Rick.
Okay, take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Jay Bruce is on the line in a sailboat in the Florida Keys. Jay Bruce, thanks for your call.
Yes, thanks, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your show. I wanted to relate a story that happened to me after I left Los Angeles area in 1988 on a sailboat and ended up in Mexico in the Sea of Cortez. And I was there for a couple of years, but unfortunately didn't learn to speak Spanish at that time. And I found myself in need of returning to California for a little while, and I had a truck down there. So I got in my truck from near Puerto Vallarta and headed up to California, which is about a 2-day drive across the mostly desert. And it got to be about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was just exhausted and decided that I'd better not continue. So I decided I would just pull off the road and find a place where I could get off far enough that I wouldn't be in danger of being hit by anybody. And I pulled down a little dirt trail that I didn't think was much, but there were things growing up all around it, and I couldn't see exactly where I was. Well, I fell asleep, and in the morning, I awoke to a knock on the window, And I was startled awake, and when I looked up, I saw that I had parked nearly right in front of a person's house. And there was a woman standing, an older woman standing at my window, and I rolled down my window as quickly as I could and tried to apologize in the little bit of Spanish that I had. And she said, no. She said, that's fine. She said, I just wanted to let you know that I brought you breakfast, and that if you'd like to go wash up first, you can use the sink over there.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It was amazing. Here I am, an American stranger, sitting practically at her front door in my truck, and she brought me breakfast. She wasn't even the least bit concerned.
And this was a humble village woman or something? I mean,
it was, yes. Yeah. Just a very humble, very rural Mexican village. And in fact, there was not even a village nearby that I could see.
You know, I bet you to this day she remembers meeting you.
Perhaps so, because this American just dropped out of some place and landed on her front porch. And it never even occurred to her to be angry.
It
was the most wonderful experience. And that truly, I've been sailing and traveling by sailboat now since 1988. I've been through all of the Bahamas. I've been the entire Pacific coast of the United States and Central America. And all the time, I've always found that the rural people are all basically the same. Everyone around the world is just friendly people. And children especially are the same everywhere. Little boys tease little girls, and little girls tease little boys back, and everything is just the same as it is in your house, it is my house, and houses in every village and every place in the world.
Jay Bruce, I got to say, you sound awfully naive, because there's a lot of Americans that never get out of their town, and they watch TV, and they'd be scared to death to do what you're doing, because people are so dangerous out there.
Yes, this is true.
Thank you so much, and happy sailing. All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
The small kindnesses that we experience in our travels can really make a big difference in how we view the world. Share your stories of travel kindness by email with us at radio@ricksteves.com. And Marilyn's on the line in Eurexville, Ohio. Marilyn, thanks for your call.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Rick.
I understand you've had some memories about encounters with strangers that you'd like to share.
Yes. About 10 years ago, my husband and I were in France. We were in the Alsace region, and we were staying in Strasbourg. And my husband always was the tour guide. He arranged all this. And we were staying in a small hotel, and he asked at the desk for directions to the city center. So the desk clerk had told him it was an easy 10-minute walk, so we set off to see the sights. About a half hour later, we decided we had definitely had a problem. So since we've been walking along a sort of paved pathway, it was used by walkers and cyclists, and every now and then we'd see a car go by. So we were walking along single file because cars were on there occasionally, and at some point I realized he was not behind me, sort of a sixth sense sort of
thing. So you're separated from your husband.
I turned around, and I spotted him a distance away. And he was chatting with a local gentleman, and the thought that went through my mind was that this ought to be really interesting because Joel doesn't speak any French beyond hello, goodbye, please, and thank you. And so I walked back to where he was, joined them, and they seemed to be doing just fine. And the Frenchman was speaking sort of German-flavored English, and my dear intrepid husband was smiling a lot. So he had explained to the man that we were sort of lost, and mentioned that I spoke French. And so the man had summoned his wife. So by the time I got there, she was there. And so we chatted back and forth a bit, and she said, en français, of course, that it was indeed a short jaunt. She then got in her car and led us to where the spot where we should have turned and bid us bon voyage. And it was something that really we never ever forgot. Between the two of us, we'd been in 20 different countries. Mm-hmm. And so all the places we'd been, that particular one really stood out. And it came into use for me because I taught French. And almost every year, students would come in and say that their mom, their dad, their aunt, whoever, told them that the French people were always rude.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask them if those particular people had ever met a real live French person. And they almost always answered, well, no.
So
isn't that interesting? It always works that way, doesn't it? The people who are so they're so convinced that something's wrong with some other place, and you ask them, how do they know? And, well, they don't really know how they know. I guess I picked it up on TV or something. And then you've been there, and you've got the actual firsthand experience.
Yes, and one of the things when I started with my first-year students, I would emphasize that different does not make it better or worse. It's just different.
And in France, they say vive la différence with that same philosophy, don't they?
Yes, exactly.
I love that. It's an acknowledgement that, hey, we can differ. I do it this way, you do it that way. Let's celebrate it.
Exactly.
Vive la différence.
Exactly. I traveled with students, I believe, maybe five different times over the years. And I always told them, don't go on this trip if you're expecting to see America, because it's not there. That's not why you're going. You're going to find the different things.
Marilyn, I think you're a great teacher, and I would imagine taking kids over to France has been some of the most rewarding teaching you've had a chance to do.
The best part was watching their eyes light up.
Yeah.
It's one thing to see it in a book. It's a whole other thing to be there.
Mm. For a lot of families, they can just write the check and send their kids to Europe, but other families really have to scrimp and save. And do you ever wonder, is it worth the financial burden to have families that aren't wealthy figure out a way to get their kids over to Europe on a school trip like those that you led?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. In fact, we had an incident that I had traveled with the same company for several years, and the trip was paid for. It was May. We were going in June. This is many years ago. Made a phone call to the company, and there was a recorded message that the company had gone out of business.
Mm.
Yeah. I thought, there went my career, the whole thing. Somebody here, I know who it is now, but I didn't immediately. Somebody called one of the other chaperones and said, do you know another company to contact? I will pay for them to go.
Oh, the first company went out of business taking everybody's money?
Well, yes. Yes,
so
this was an illegal situation.
Wow, so this angel came about on board and salvaged the whole experience because you couldn't expect the families to pay twice.
No.
Oh.
The kids were more enthusiastic than any other group I had ever taken before or after because they understood how lucky they were.
Yeah. What year was it when that company went out of business?
That would have been about 92, 93.
Okay, because since then, just so parents and people who are concerned understand, since then I believe there are new laws that require tour companies to hold that money in an escrow account until they actually perform the tour so that people don't end up paying for a trip that they never get. Hey, Marilyn from Ohio, thanks so much for sharing and good luck with your teaching and your travels.
Enjoyed talking to you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Nancy's on the phone in Baltimore, Maryland. Nancy, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. It's really a treat to talk with you.
Thank you. Now, you know, you had an experience in the Peace Corps that sounds quite interesting.
Yes. Well, I was in Malaysia 7 group back in 64 and 65. I was assigned to a small fishing village on the South China Sea in the state of Terengganu, and I taught hearing-impaired children in the national language of Malaysia, and I was a speech and hearing therapist at the time. I was there almost a whole year, living in a little house on stilts in the village, just at the edge of the jungle. And one night, I was attacked, and my experience of the kind of strangers really is calling to mind two particular families. One was an Indian family who were neighbors of mine, and I had taught Sunday school to their children. They had so little, and they gave to me from what little they had while I was in the clinic in this little village. They came and brought me a bowl of upuma, which is an Indian dish. It is cream of wheat, some Indian spices. And it was so comforting and so nourishing. And they gave comfort to me in my spirit as well as my body. I have never forgotten the taste of that wonderful gift. I was 23 years old and 10,000 miles from home.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was quite traumatic, but I survived. The other couple who extended such kindness to me also were the headmaster of my school and his wife. They came to the clinic, and she gave me a package wrapped in brown paper, which was traditional gift wrapping. And she said to me, "Nancy, when someone we love is leaving us, we give them something of special meaning to us. In this little package was her wedding sarong and her wedding shawl made of galantan silk with beautiful gold threads all through it. And, of course, I still have it. I treasure it." And there's a Malay proverb that I think is just so beautiful for this topic. And it says, "We can pay back the loan of gold, but we die in debt to those who are kind." And that's what I experienced through that event that could have been completely awful, but it was redeemed by the kindness
of the people. That is quite an inspiration. You very well could have become a bitter person and come back filled with fear and anger. But these people helped turn that around.
Yes. One of the difficult things was that I was taken to the capital city after 4 days by Peace Corps staff, and I was assigned to a new school. And one day, as I was coming home from school, from teaching, I felt really ill. I was pregnant. So I chose to carry that pregnancy to term because I absolutely love being alive, and I wanted to give that to this child. As it turns out, it was a full-term pregnancy, and she was stillborn. And so in her memory now, I have a small scholarship here that goes to an inner-city school in Baltimore, and that just gives me such joy. And it means that my body was conquered, but now I can say my spirit hasn't been conquered. Been a long journey. It has not been an easy one without awful consequences, but on balance, I think it's a story of hope. And I feel that my daughter's message is one of hope and light and love, and that's what she and I together are putting out into the world.
Wow, and 50 years later, from a village in Malaysia to Baltimore, Maryland, there's this connection.
Yeah.
Really, this connection that is really created by your positive spirit and big heart, and probably inspired by the care and the thoughtfulness and the love from your neighbors during that horrific day.
Whoa. Absolutely.
Well, Nancy, thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that it's touched people and brought compassion and understanding to people beyond your wildest imagination.
That would be wonderful. Well, good. Thank you so much, Rick.
Thank you, Nancy. Right. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Let's sail.
Tonight, fated in its blindness, it won't be long before help is at hand. When the darkness sleeps, cushioning the heartbeat, listen to our hearts beat.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton, Kaz Mora Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Our website is managed by Andrew Wakeling. Affiliate relations are by Sheila Gerzoff. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You can find links to our guests and search the show archives at ricksteves.com/radio.